Maybe. It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, friends, to episode number 71 of Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in a Pittsburgh area, they're there to help you. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. Everybody, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all busier than they've ever been, but still have time for you if you're looking to move out of a smaller home into a bigger one. Maybe you're looking to do that in reverse and downsize, whatever it may be. They are there to help you in the Pittsburgh area, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Be sure to follow us at Cabali and Mac, whether it's on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course on YouTube. Where are we at, Kaboom? Like 815 subscribers or something like that?
You don't let me have those numbers, so
I don't let you have them. Seriously, you've never asked for the login, I don't think. You big baby. That's 810 weird. Subscribers. Sorry, I overshot it by a handful. Once we get to 2,500, we will raffle off that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. We've also got $100 Yoli's gift card if you live in the South Hills, Upper Mon Valley, whatever else. The only places in the world that got rain yesterday. Then we'll figure out a way to give that away maybe on social media here soon in the next couple of weeks, because training camp is now, we're just 4 weeks away from the first practice, Kaboom, up in Latrobe. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Aaron Rodgers is excited for it. You're not, but everybody else is.
Well, I'm excited for the start, but I'm not excited for the 3 weeks in the
blistering heat.
The heat, you know, I've had some issues up there before, you know, walking around with a bad will.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm not really looking forward to it. Well, you know, it's interesting. It's been difficult more in the years to come because the access is getting lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser.
Right.
Players zip off the back side into the golf cart and can't really talk to people. But it might be a little bit different this year because they're moving practices. They used to go 3 to 5, 3 to 5:30.
Yeah.
Moved them up last year. Wasn't hot enough for Mike Tomlin. He moved them back. That created an issue with the schedule of having players talk to us schlubs. So we're returning back. So maybe there will be more access. But
the old 3 to 5:30-ish schedule returns.
Which is terrible and good.
Why is it terrible?
Because it's 195 degrees.
Yeah. Why is it good?
Because you don't have to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning to watch practice at 10.
I'm old enough to remember, yeah, when they would do, I mean, the first practice was a glorified walkthrough, but when they would do two-a-days still, and the first practice was at like 10:30-ish or something. And it was just a walkthrough. But they don't even do that anymore.
No walkthrough, no two-a-days. They used to have 10, 11 of them where they would come back at 10 in the morning. Sometimes they would do full pads, too. They wouldn't always have walkthroughs early back, you know, pre-2011, I'm guessing. Is that when the last CBA came out?
Yeah. There's going to be some old-timers who jump in the comments, I'm sure, on YouTube and X.
Or, I think they're going to get rid of that.
Practice three times a day.
I think the whole goal is now is to get rid of off-season OTAs, mini camp, and start training camp earlier now. I think that's why they dumped a little bit of this OTAs to 9 to 6 or 10 to 6. I think that's ultimately where they want to be heading. Now, give them all January to July. You know, I don't know about that because I remember Wolf, the great Wolf.
Yes.
Told me he'd have to show up right after 4th of July.
Yeah, they had training camp for like 7 weeks, something crazy. And now, they play like five or six preseason games, too.
They're working in the mill and that before that. But
down in the mines.
Down at Clareton Works.
Yeah. So, yeah, training camp right around the corner. We're maybe talk about the defensive side of the ball a little bit today because, again, with Rodgers being all in, as he said multiple times, now we've talked so much about the offense and the positivity there that it's just natural to kind of shift back to the other side of the ball and talk about that. Special mystery guest coming up right around 11 o'clock or so. We'll jump on with the show. We'll talk to him about, I don't know, maybe both sides of the ball.
He's like he's without giving it away quite yet, he's like a three-time Yinzer.
Yeah.
Maybe. So we'll maybe leave it at that.
That's, did you leave it?
Three-level Yinzer.
He's reached the third level of Yinzer.
Yes. I don't know if there's a fourth level of Yinzer.
I don't know. What would the fourth level be?
Maybe growing up. Growing up one.
Yeah.
Then maybe
high school ball.
Maybe college ball. Maybe college ball. What would be next?
I mean,
playing for the River Hands. No, I don't know. I don't know what. I think there's only four levels of maybe lifelong Yinzer. Maybe there's five. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. That's something for a discussion down the line. Maybe we can ask our mystery guest what level Yinzer he considers himself. We'll get into that in a little bit. Buccos lost another Skeens game yesterday. I looked it up. Did you know the Pirates of starting pitchers with at least 15 starts, three of the top 10 in fewest run support. So I guess three of the bottom 10, if you want to put it that way, in run support in Major League Baseball are Pirates starters. Andrew Heaney is number one. Mitch Keller is number two. And Paul Skeens is number 10. No run support again yesterday. Skeens can't even give up a couple bloops and dribblers, and they lose.
Oh, don't give up four runs, right? Well, I mean, what I took
away from this? Hold on, real quick. You mentioned four runs is the cutoff point. I think that's – I happened to hear Dan Zangrilli on the Pirates postgame show yesterday mention that in games that they've scored at least five runs, the Pirates have won nine straight. But it's so few and far between that it doesn't even really matter.
You know, I took something away from that game. Of course, Skeens, Pirates, whatever. I start to look on the other side of the ball. Man, that Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah.
First of all, he got the Yinzer name. And second of all, he was throwing 102s. Bang.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He's given up three hits and he's got three wins already. The dude's a stud. Other teams seem to be figuring it out. You know, the teams that everybody leaves for dead every year, like the Rays, who now they're trying to figure out how they're going to fit everybody in their tiny little minor league stadium if they get to the playoffs. Like,
I saw it.
The Rays have gone to the playoffs, what, five of the last 6 years, six of the last seven? Yeah. They managed to figure it out all the time.
Not like Milwaukee's a big market either. I mean, Cincinnati's not a big market.
Milwaukee's technically, I think, a smaller market maybe than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't buy the market. I mean,
but I don't either.
Put a winner on the team, they come.
Exactly. And I've had people argue with me before about, well, you know, the reason Milwaukee does so much better is because they've got that roof and they can draw more fans and they make more money that way. And it's like, well, maybe it's just because they got a better team out there all the time.
Every single year.
Yeah.
Something like that. But, you know, the Buccos, man.
Another O'Neal.
What do you think of old Mitch Keller? Would you ship him?
I mean, if you can get
Nightingale reported that, right? Somebody.
Yeah, I guess Keller, Hayes. There's a few guys on the block that if you can get something.
Who wants Hayes?
You said the other day, I mean, he's a cornerstone here, but you put him on a really good contending team. That's a great guy to come come in off the bench as a defensive replacement late in a ball game. I mean,
he's the cornerstone of this team, and he's a ninth inning defensive replacement on a contender.
Seriously. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. And one of the other cornerstones had another adventure in center field yesterday, O'Neal Cruz. I don't know where you play him at this point. Like he obviously can't handle center field. I don't know if you put him out and left at PNC Park. So, you know, he can still track down balls when they're hit out that way to that big left field, but like you're running out of spots. Mm-hmm.
DH.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you do with McCutcheon then? I guess you're just bringing him out on the bench too.
If you look at, I haven't heard nobody mention about the 115 mile per hour throw to home plate or anything. It doesn't really matter when you just don't go after the ball or dog it. Right. So
exactly.
I don't know. I don't know. Obviously I don't know him or never talked to him, but man, he seems like he is don't know. I don't know if he's locked in, man. Just imagine a guy with that talent if he had, say, the drive of a – I mean, I'll throw a name out there from the past, but Derek Jeter. He didn't have a ton of talent. He didn't have A-Rod talent, but he worked his butt off, and he was out there all the time. Even Cal Ripken, man, working your butt off. I mean, I know I'm talking about Hall of Famers here, but
– yeah. Well, but I'll say this. And this is not to defend O'Neill Cruz's lack of effort at times or the adventures in the outfield, but like I think it's hard sometimes for young, talented players to come in. Now, Skeens is the exact opposite of this, but to come into a place where they know there's, I don't want to say no hope, but very little hope of anything happening beyond September 30th. And I think... Look, I don't think it's a good thing, but I think it helps explain. It's not an excuse. May help explain why he doesn't look as locked in as he should. Again, it's not an excuse. I'm just trying to look for reasons maybe as to why he looks disinterested at times. Anyway, it'll be busy down at the ballpark this weekend because the Mets are in town, which means a bunch of annoying New Yorkers are going to be here this weekend. I'll be out of town, so I won't meet any of them.
Where the heck are you going?
Hershey. Leaving for Hershey first thing tomorrow morning, another softball tournament, bud. Hershey Park tomorrow, and then softball all day Saturday and Sunday.
You going to go over to the Hershey factory, chocolate factory?
No, we did that a couple years ago. It's done free. It once. It's, you know, you've seen it once, you've seen it 1,000 times. So just try to avoid the Chocolate World gift shop so the kids don't rack up like $200 in T-shirts that they're never going to wear, or giant candy bars.
So what is in it for your son if he's going out there?
He gets to go to Hershey Park.
Oh, you're going to Hershey Park?
Yeah, we're going tomorrow. Going to go check into the hotel a little early, drop the stuff off, go to the park, do that all day, and then get up at like 6:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning on Saturday, and start playing softball all day.
So you're one of those travel ball snob dads.
I'm not a snob about it at all.
What are you talking about? You just gave the kids' team a pep talk.
Yeah, because they needed it. It doesn't make me a snob for going out. It doesn't make me a cake eater, as you would say, for trying to, you know, give the girls a little boost, pump their tires before they go out there.
You know, we need to get your daughter on here. She had to be embarrassed.
She'd do nothing but talk shit if she came on.
She had to be embarrassed at all.
I'm sure she's embarrassed. Tough. Tough. Suck it up, kid.
My dad
thinks he's a coach or something.
After you gave this pep talk, did you say, okay, and now Jelly Roll and Shaboozy up next on Y108?
In the middle of an hour commercial free, here's Shaboozy on Y108. No, I didn't go. I didn't include that. NHL draft is tomorrow. If you missed our, say, 25, 30-minute long conversation with Josh Yoey yesterday, you know you can go back and check it out. He insists that Kyle Dubas should be looking to trade up with the 11th and 12th picks in the draft. See what he can do to get up into the maybe fifth, sixth spot, get one of those impact players that they need. But again, if you missed any of what Yoey had to say yesterday, you can go back to yesterday's episode and check that out on that one. Thanks again to our friends at Southwest Greens as well for being a part of Cabali and Mac. We appreciate them a ton. You want your yard to look great and be usable, and you don't have to spend all your time out in this ridiculous heat trying to take care of it. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell Jake the Cabali and Mac sent you, and he'll get out there and tell you exactly what they can do for your yard, where they can put down an artificial surface that will be the best looking in the neighborhood and also the best for you. Kids could go out and play on it. Pets can use it just like they would any other yard. Maybe it's just around the pool, just around the playset. You want a little pitch and putt for the far back corner of the yard. I don't know, but they can do it for you and make it look great. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate their support of Cabali and Mac as well. All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, Kaboom. NFL insider James Palmer, used to work for NFL Network, kind of doing his own thing now for Bleacher Report, was talking about the Trey Hendrickson negotiations and how off the rails that is between Cincy and Hendrickson, and was asked about well, a couple other guys that are looking for contract extensions in the linebacking core around the NFL. One in particular we know well here.
A couple of pass rushers, just an update on TJ Watt, Micah Parsons before I get to Roger. So I throw those in here since we were talking Trey Hendrickson. I'm hearing there's a chance Watt gets past 40, which is something that we're really keeping an eye on, right? That if he gets that $40 million a year at the age that he is at, he has every right to ask for it. I've talked on here a lot about the comparisons between him and Myles Garrett. The numbers are almost identical in every aspect in terms of superlatives and in terms of numbers, and they came in the same draft class. I mean, he has the right to try to get that.
So here's the thing. We've talked about TJ Watt and what the contract will look like plenty. And, you know, we I guess, break it all down again if we really wanted to. I agree with what James is saying there, that he can make a really good case for pushing his number past Myles Garrett's $40 million a year. What's interesting to me is that when you bring that up, fans, Steeler fans especially, push back on it and say, well, no, he's not worth all that. What are they doing? But then in the same breath during the season, we will sit there and argue with PFF about how much better TJ is than Garrett, yet fans don't want to pay him more than Garrett. And again, it's not my job to negotiate for TJ Watt. I don't have to sit here and do that. But I still have a hard time coming to grips with the fans who sit there and, you know, in hypocrisy, argue with themselves against whether TJ Watt is the best edge rusher in the league or not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's around the NFL, all fan bases, but it just seems like Pittsburgh is very notorious of wanting players, but don't want to pay for them. And when they do, we get paid for him. Ah, he isn't worth that. Okay, you're worth what somebody pays you. I mean, yeah. I'm not the one that invented that. That's true. If somebody's going to give you $40 million, you're worth $40 million. If he's not at $40 million, he's going to be darn close to it, right? It's not going to be much of a difference. And if you're squabbling or quibbling over $2 million, 38 to 40, I mean, what are we talking about here? Just give the guy his money. I mean, we're talking about cutting Cordero Patterson and giving him the money then. I mean, is this what we're talking about? I mean, I don't think that's the case. I mean, agents are good at fudging numbers of saying this is 40, whatever. I still am a firm believer if he gets those 2 years of guaranteed that gets him to 40, but maybe the overall isn't all 40.
Right.
You would be much more interested in that. Because if I'm TJ Watt and I'm 31, 32, and I'm getting 40 guaranteed, hypothetically. Other than that, I can go and move on after that if I want to. Somebody else is going to pay you money. You know, it could be this team. It could not be that. I would not say I want a long-term deal, as in 4 or 5 years if I'm – maybe that's where it's hold up. But I don't think this fake number, and it's not fake, but it really is – $40 million isn't going to be something that's get caught up in. You're not going to get caught up in that number.
No, it's more like you said,
$40 and $1.
Right. I think, like you said repeatedly, it's more about the guaranteed money, how much of it is there and how long it's guaranteed for, because that is what I think TJ feels he deserves probably. I'm not one of these guys that should only get his current year guaranteed. I should get more than that if I really am one of the franchise cornerstones.
Yeah, look at Hayward. Hayward signed, I know he's a little bit older, 35. What was he, 35 last year, 34?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was 3 1-year deals, right? I don't know if they're willing to pay a 30, 31-year-old or 2 years of guaranteed money. Maybe that's where the holdup is. Maybe they're like, you get one and we'll see what happens after. And he goes, no, man, look at these numbers. So people just throwing out numbers or just people throwing out numbers. I don't think that's coming from anywhere where you truly believe it. You have to, when you see people that are not in the situation mentioning numbers, they normally come from the agent, and the agent obviously wants that number to be up here rather than down here. So I'm always skeptical of that.
James says, just because the dumbass Browns overpaid doesn't mean the Steelers have to. Well, I mean, it kind of does. It kind of does, James. That's the way it works.
Unless you're Deshaun Watson. So, because nobody's really went there since.
Well, the Deshaun Watson deal is what, and people have reported on this and talked about it over the last couple of weeks, is is what started the entire league-wide pushback on the amount of guaranteed money in any deal. And so I understand people saying, look what the Browns did, these idiots. You're right. The Browns were idiots for doing what they did with Watson. And maybe they'll end up looking like idiots for guaranteeing Garrett the amount of money that they did or signing him for the amount that they did. But like it or not, that sets the market. And that's why I still think that a lot of this is dependent upon the other guy that James Palmer was talking about in that clip, which is Micah Parsons. You know, if and I understand, not the exact same textbook position. Micah lines up a little bit more all over the formation than TJ does. But if Micah gets some sort of ridiculous deal, like I said last week, if he gets 45 mil a year, well, if I'm TJ, I do go back to this TJ and his agent. I do go back to the Steelers and say, hey, listen, I mean, this is what this guy's getting. Mm-hmm. And I understand he's younger. But if you're telling me I'm still a cornerstone of this franchise, you might not have to beat that number, but you got to get a little bit closer to it. And so if I'm Watt and his agent, I am waiting to see what happens with Micah Parsons and the Cowboys.
And we've seen in the past, a couple years ago, he can show up. He could hold in. Mm-hmm. He can get some work done. It's not going to affect his play because he had 22 and a half sacks. You're thinking of TJ, if you want to maximize your money, don't you wait till September 7th? Okay, nobody's signing. Now let's go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through training camp. I mean, you're going to be there, but you don't have to go through the rigors of it that you don't want to anyways as a 31-year-old, which they probably wouldn't allow him to do it anyways. So why not wait? So that's why I don't think – I think this is something that would last – would drag on, so to speak, when it's really not dragging on. You know, they might have an offer on the table and be like, hey, we'll talk on in September. And if nobody else gets big money, maybe this is something I'll do. I don't know if the Steelers would be willing to do that. But I don't see any benefit of T.J. Watt himself of signing now to September 5th. What's the benefit?
To TJ, none.
None.
And again, it's not that TJ doesn't want to be a Steeler or anything like that. This comes down to the simple business of I want to get as much as I can. Totally understand that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait as long as I can. And if that means I don't have to be out there, you know, in team drills during training camp, then so be it.
But he wasn't going to be anyways. Maybe a handful. It's not going to be much.
And he's not going to play in preseason games. I wouldn't think whether he signed or not.
If he signs right now, I don't know how much that affects his training camp and preseason at all. Maybe a little bit. I mean, it's not like he's going to go out there and do back-on-backers. It's not like he's going to go out there and do goal line drill.
Oh, James also saw our friend James, who's commenting on YouTube this morning. Bill Coward may become a minority owner. Let me just advise against something real quick. There are about 6,000 different accounts I've noticed on Facebook that post all these weird stories that have like zero kernel of truth to them. Mostly and sometimes include these funky AI photos and all kinds of, it's all crap. It's all garbage. Like, it's amazing to me how many of those I see in the feed on a daily basis. Yeah. And it's like, who the hell thinks to do that? And people comment on it as if it's actual, real, legit news. And it just makes me go, I hate the internet.
I click on it just to read through the comments. It's like, good job. This is my team. Great job. Then eight down the road say, you idiot. This is fake. Delete this account. One time it was like, man. Mike Tomlin got rewarded by Art Rooney with a gold watch for his win the other day. I'm like, what?
I think I saw one the other day. It was a couple weeks ago, actually. Mike Tomlin gave some kind of bonus to like a homeless kid on the street or something. Like, I mean, they're just so ridiculous, these stories that these fake accounts post.
Well, you know, they take it to a next level, and I'm like, where did this come from? And I click on him, like, wait a second. They said I said this. I didn't say nothing. Hey. One time I had to say, I did not say this. This is just totally using my name. I may be able to sue them or something.
I mean,
sue them for what?
Sue me for what? Rocky Five.
I'm like, I never wrote that.
Well, I mean, look, it's the internet. Crazy things happen. Someone the other day called me.
People believing it is where I'm, you know, we're going through. People are like, yeah, this is great.
It's
good,
garbage.
Good thing. Garbage. Mike Tomlin retiring to become an astronaut. That's what he needs to do. Good job, Mike. That's my coach.
I mean, somebody called me an analyst the other day. You sent me on.
Yeah, that was.
Come on.
I was looking through this. I'm like, who's this analyst they're talking about? I'm like, oh, yes. Chris Mack is an analyst. They were quoting you and stuff.
I appreciate that, whoever posted that. Let's talk about the rest of the defense before we get our special mystery guest in here in a couple minutes.
He knows how to use them.
I think he knows how to use the internet, Kaboom.
I got the message. It's like, can I just use my phone?
I mean, yeah, he can.
I said, I think you might need like Firefox or something. Didn't
Firefox?
Didn't somebody have a problem?
Is it 2008 over there?
No, Firefox or Chrome or something. Who was that? Who was that? Was that who had to hurry up and download something? That was.
I don't remember.
It was either what's his name?
You on Internet Explorer over there? You got your AOL dial up?
Well, Safari's on your phone. I don't know if it works. It's compatible. Who was it? Cody Sable or?
Oh, it was Cody. Yeah, you're right. He had to download something in order to
get it. Was it David Allen? I can't remember.
I don't know.
That's what I was trying to get at. Like, dude, I think you might need like. I looked it up and it said Firefox or Google Chrome. That's why I said Firefox.
Firefox.
Ask Jeeves. What did I see the other day? Bing. Is Bing still a thing?
I think it is.
Bing.
Maybe? I don't know.
I never asked Jeeves a thing, by the way, just to put that out there.
You've never?
I've never asked Jeeves anything. Is Ask Jeeves still?
Is it still a thing? I don't know. Let's see. Anyway. If I type Ask Jeeves into a search bar, what happens? Oh, I think it might be. Look at this.
I'm going to start.
No, it's just ask.com now.
Oh, what happened to Jeeves?
Jeeves got dumped, man. He got thrown out on his can. No more Ask Jeeves. It's just ask.com.
See that? No, that's why nobody uses ask.com because they got rid of Jeeves.
Exploring old school internet browsers with Mark Cabali on today's edition of Cabali and Mac.
I think Ed Bouchette still uses AOL. You got mail. Every time you turn his computer on, you hear, you got mail. Like, Ed, you still using AOL?
When you're a Hall of Famer, you can get away with that, I guess. I think we've deduced that our mystery guest is like, what'd you say, third or fourth level Yinzer, right?
He's probably 1, 2, 3. He's at 4, but I think he might be at the apex. I don't think he can go past 4.
You can't get past fourth level Yinzer. Let's ask him ourselves. Steelers long snapper Christian Kuntz joins Cabali and Mac. What's up, bud? How you doing?
What's up? Thanks for having me. Fourth level Yinzer. That's high praise. I appreciate that. I'm curious on the levels of this stuff because, you know, if you get up the beach view at any time or, you know, in the thick of Dormont, you know, there's level 5 Yinzers up there, truly.
Like, well, we were just talking about growing up in the city.
One.
Playing high school ball, college ball, and pro ball all in the same city. That's 4 levels. I don't know if there's a fifth. Maybe a podcaster. That's a fifth one. You're a podcaster.
A Yinzer podcaster. Yeah, I guess that's tier 5 right there. I'll take it.
This is the first ever, Mac. We're interviewing a guy driving his car. I'm a little worried.
No, it's all right. We're on the way to Avonworth to get some snaps up, to get a little run in. Nice. We're all right. We'll be all right. It's a Yinzer driving. I know it might sound dangerous, but you know, we know these roads. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you don't need to type it into Waze or Google Maps or nothing. It's all up there.
Locked in. I know how to make a left. Yeah. Make a Pittsburgh left, do this, do that. Yeah.
Why is long snapper a thing that Yinzers in particular seem to be so good at, Christian? There's you, there's Cal. What is it just something in the Yinzer blood that like, hey, I'm playing football growing up at a certain point. I'm going to figure out how to fire a ball back between my legs at 15 yards with deadly accuracy.
Yeah, I never really thought about, you know, the amount of guys from Pittsburgh. I guess Luke Rhodes, he's Hollidaysburg. He's the Colts snapper, one of the best in the league. And I don't know what it is. I just feel like sometimes Yinzers will get this attitude like, you know, if you got a sense that you ain't going to make it as a linebacker, you know, I had that pretty good sense, then, you know, we're going to find any means necessary to get it done. And we, you know, pick up long snap and start firing a ball, like you said.
I mean, how in the world you figure out you weren't going to be a linebacker? The preseason game, you had a sack. You top five, top six in FCS in tackles for losses.
Oh,
I mean, they had to be knocking down the door.
I know, Mark. You know, I truly did think I was going to make it as a linebacker, you know. And then when I got up to New England for that, you know, day and a half, cup of coffee, I was there. I realized real quick when I saw E-Rob and Dante Hightower up there. I saw Brady. I was like, what the hell? What am I doing? I better start snapping. And, you know, right after I got cut, I really, you know, my agent, not a heart-to-heart, but we kind of just agreed on it together. We were like, listen, I've snapped in college before, you know, my fifth year. I did it because our guy, you know, whatever, we didn't have a snapper. And, you know, I was decent at it without working at it. And I felt like that was my best shot. And we just kind of started going from there. So I'll say right after I got cut from New England is when I truly realized, like, damn, I got no chance to make it as a linebacker.
What's the vibe? I know you said you were only there for like a day and a half, but like I've heard a ton of stories about the vibe in New England's building, especially when Brady was still there. That like I have had one person tell me that they thought they were like one of the first people in the locker room one morning, and they go back to the, you know, like bathroom area, and they're just using the bathroom, standing there firing off a whiz, and Tom comes up in literally the urinal right next to him and is like, "Hey, Tom, nice to meet you." He's like, "Hey, nice to meet you too,
yeah,
Tom."
So I kind of have a similar story to that. When I got up there to work out, I was in there pretty early to get a physical and do things like measurements. All the five linebackers that were there to work out at that time, we were all kind of waiting to get, you know, see the trainer, see the strength staff, do what you have to do, get your gear, get ready for that workout. And I'll never forget, I was in the locker room or in their training room, and the doctor was like looking at my knees, my ankles, you know, just doing the typical stuff that a doctor would do to check you out before a workout to make sure you clear a physical. And, you know, I heard the door open behind me and I turned around and looked and then did a double take, and it was Brady. And it was like 5:30. It was like 5:30 in the morning, because they picked us up at 5 at our hotel. Like New England, they were like, "We're picking you up. 5:30 is your physical." And that was him who walked in there and came.
Oh, it's that Avonworth cell connection. He's down on Ohio River Boulevard somewhere on Camp Horn. We got you back, Kristen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just turned on. Yeah. No, but he ended up reaching his fist. I don't know if he lost me there. And he kind of was like, "You here for a workout?" I was like, "Yeah." Fist pounded me, told me good luck, enjoy myself. Like, it was a cool 5-second interaction that, you know, I'll never forget. Like, that shit goes a long way.
Now, you have quite an interesting special teams coach. What's your favorite Danny Smith story? I know you've probably been holding them all back, but this is the time just to give us your favorite Danny Smith one.
Yeah. My favorite one, I mean, you know, this is my when you obviously it's never perfect out there. You know, we're playing with conditions, you're playing at the highest level. You know, we're human beings, so it's never perfect. But when you do, you know, mess up, he is not shy on the sideline to let you know about it. And, you know, this, you know, one of the funnier ones was, you know, he just came over and just, you know, right to my face was just like, and the guys are sitting there and the guys are like, you know, it wasn't even that bad. The protection, whatever, we got it off. It was a 48-yard punt, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or we made the field goal, whatever it was. And he just came over with a big wad of gum in his mouth. And, like, he's spitting everywhere to begin with. And he just spit all over my face. And he said, "You suck! You suck!" And there was spit on my face mask. There was spit on my face. And, like, everybody saw it. Boss saw it. Presley saw it. At that time, it was Presley. And, like, dude, it was just unbelievable. Like, we couldn't help but, like, even though I had a bad rep and that happens, like we said, him coming up with this huge wad and just spitting all over my face mask, my face, like, there was nothing I could do. I just took it. Like, I was just like, okay, yep, that's it. Just spit it right on my face. But there's been multiple times where, you know, he's been in you know, he's just had hilarious one-liners. I mean, you know how it is, Mark. Like, he has just these hilarious one-liners, these hilarious stories that he just, I don't know where he gets them from, but I can't really say half of them on the air.
Sure you can.
Yeah, you can. It's the internet, Christian.
You're right. It is the internet, but he's truly, he's one of a kind. He's a one of a kind human being. He's hysterical.
I think we just found the fifth level Yinzer, Mac.
We did. Danny Smith, fifth level Yinzer.
That's a fifth level Yinzer for sure. Fifth level.
You're biased in this regard, so this is probably a dumb question to ask you, but is Boz the best kicker in the league right now?
Oh, no doubt. That's not even me being biased. That's facts. Like, he's the dude kicks in Pittsburgh. Like, I understand, you know, there's a bunch of great kickers out there, and I have nothing but respect for all those guys, all the specialists in general. Like, I've gained a lot of respect for specialists. Boz is on a different level, man. He's in his whatever year he's going into. He's just been doing it. Like, he had a shitty year that people were like, oh, we had that one year. Well, yeah, but look how we bounced back. That shows like a true pro and truly how good he is. You know what I mean? And it's nice to have a guy like that in your unit that kind of like, you know, he's the anchor, dude. Like, if you put a ball down, that dude's kicking it through. I don't care what it looks like. You put the ball down, he's kicking it through. In the coldest situation, the windiest, like, it don't matter. It's awesome to have.
Have you gone up to Danny or Mike and asked for the Chris Boswell schedule yet? Practice schedule.
I have not, and I don't foresee myself asking for that schedule ever. I don't think.
No.
Camp Horn Road signal strikes again. We got him back. We still got you, Christian.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. He might. I just hope he didn't hit anything.
Did I get you guys back? I'm in the woods right now.
No, you're back now.
No. You know everybody's going to be knowing where you're working out.
Is Mark back?
I'm here.
It's always, Christian, it's always questionable how engaged Mark is with the conversation, whether he's sitting right next to Mike Tomlin at the owners' meetings or sitting right across from me on this stream yard.
That's fake news.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even know if he's paying attention to me. Even though his screen's black, you know, he could be sleeping right now, and no one would even know. It's just Mark.
Jeez. Every single player come on here is giving me a dart.
He's probably glad that his screen's black and he can't hear me right now. He's probably going to get to take a snooze right now. That's what he's saying.
The funny thing is, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Can hear.
You know, Friermuth first ripping on me, then Mason ripping on me. Is it like the thing to do now?
It's tradition.
Oh, hey, that means that to me. That means we like you, Mark. That's one thing. If we could joke with you like this, it means we like you. But I did think that you were blacking out your screen on purpose so you could take a little snooze.
Hey, we got a question from somebody on YouTube that I think is actually a good one here from James. He said, as a long snapper, your role's critical but often overlooked. What's the most misunderstood part of your job that fans don't usually notice?
Yeah, so I think, you know, everybody – definitely misunderstood and definitely overlooked for sure. But I think something that fans don't notice is the blocking aspect of professional long snapping. You know, in college, they see a long snapper snap the ball and, you know, run right downfield. Obviously, you know, they don't have any rules and protection and they run a lot of spread punt. And, you know, yeah, I don't knock college programs for doing that, but in the NFL, you know, you got to block. There's eight guys that rush on punt. You got eight guys in the formation on your punt team, and that leaves the long snapper to block somebody. So you got to be able to deliver the ball and then block, you know, a guy that's rushing in the A-gap like Miles Killebrew, Peyton Wilson, Nick Herbig on punt team. Like, you know, that's the biggest learning curve, and that's what I think that a lot of fans don't really think, because I get the question a lot. I get the statement a lot of, oh, you're a long snapper. You can't get hit at all. Like, come on. People don't, you know, you truly don't understand. You don't really understand that part of the game if you think a long snapper can't get hit. You can't line up directly over a long snapper's head in any formation, you know, on field goal or punt, because now they're protecting the net, head and neck area, because there's been so many injuries. But once that ball snapped, you know, not on field goal, but on punt, they're allowed to do whatever they want. They're allowed to rush you just how they rush anybody else on that team. So it's, yes, there's a rule where they can't line up directly over you to for injury prevention of your neck, because your head's essentially between your legs. But the blocking standpoint and, like, the physicality that actually goes into it is definitely a real thing.
You're a Short Tears Valley guy, right? I know you like TJ very well. We've seen some videos of you catching the ball, mostly from his phone, saying, "Look at me in high school, Mac." But that's not, we won't mention that. Yeah. But second of all, you went to high school with TJ McConnell. I know he's a couple years older than you, right?
Yeah.
You had to be doing some battle on that basketball court. You were on what? You were a sophomore when he was a senior. Is that what it was?
I was a sophomore, and you know, Mark, I had to tell, you know, now the whole running joke is like that. You know, TJ obviously had this unbelievable playoff run, and he's blown up a little bit even more. I mean, this guy's an 11-year vet, like NBA veteran. He's very solidified, but he's blown up a little more since this playoff series. And now the running joke in the locker room to me is like, you don't even know TJ doesn't even know Christian Kuntz. So like, now everyone's really pissing me off. They're you know, I get to take credit for being TJ's teammate in high school, and these guys are now telling me that I don't even know him. They're like, he doesn't even know you, bro. You know him. He doesn't know you. It's actually pissing me off.
Not just CV, but Duquesne too. I mean,
Duquesne. I wasn't there with him at Duquesne. He went there his first 2 years, and then I went there, and he transferred out. But we did have some crossover in basketball. I started as a sophomore on our state final team that we lost, where his dad said that he didn't play as well. The dude, he had 37 points in the finals. How much better could we have asked him to play? I mean, he played unbelievable, but. No, he had a hell of an NBA, you know, an NBA playoff run here this past year, and I'm excited to get some wine with him. He's coming home this week, so
we're gonna have You post him up a little bit in high school in practice.
I used to get him I used to be physical with him. You know, I used to let him know about it. But we were, you know, I was kind of like the enforcer as a sophomore. I had no business being out there. You know, he'd throw me a pass and hit off my head, and the lamp would go in. I'm dead serious. Like, I'd get a rebound, and he'd be screaming at me. Like, he'd be screaming at me, "The ball!" Clapping. "Give me the ball!" Clapping at me. And, like, I just pass him the ball, and I'd stay back at half court and then guard whoever they told me to guard. That was really all I did.
I know you got to run in a minute here, so we'll start to wrap this up. But, like, what's it been like having Rodgers around? We've heard nothing but positive stories about Aaron Rodgers' arrival in Pittsburgh. In the locker room, out on the field. I know it's like three mandatory mini camp practices and you're doing your special teams thing, but just the vibe around the building with Rodgers in the fold now.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. He's been to me, and I feel like to everybody, he's been nothing but cool and respectful. And like, he's just a dude. Like, he just wants to be treated. He's just happens to be one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but he's honestly just another dude. Like, he sits with guys at lunch, dinner, whatever it was, meetings, like, talk to you. And the vibe is obviously, you know, great. Like, we get a guy like Aaron Rodgers that knows how to, you know, manipulate a defense the way he does. And the guy's a four-time MVP, Super Bowl champ. Like, what the hell are we even talking about? You know, we got this guy in the locker room. We got a chance. It don't matter. So the vibes are definitely extremely high. And, you know, obviously there's a ton of work to do in training camp. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it all unfolds.
What is a typical training camp day for you?
Well, I guess I think they just changed the schedule back up to afternoon practices. So, you know, a little work breakfast in the morning, obviously. We'll probably have a special teams meeting. I'll get my lift in. We'll go to walkthrough. We'll go back to the cafeteria, get lunch in, have probably like an hour, have like 2 hours of, you know, prep for practice, whether you want to go take an hour nap and then an hour to prep, or an hour and a half nap, or an hour. I've seen guys take an hour and 55 minutes nap and run over and get dressed and go out to practice. Or, you know, whether you want to take the 2 hours to get treatment, get your body right, and get to practice, roll out, whatever. And then usually after practice, you hit the hill, sign the autographs on the hill. You have to hit the hill, especially in the early weeks when everyone's there. Then we have dinner, a night team meeting, and then, you know, everyone kind of tries to hang out and build some camaraderie after that team meeting. They go to unit position meetings. I'm done after the team meeting, but hang out, play some card games, checkers, Connect Four, cornhole. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, outside that, you know, it gets competitive, but it's fun. It's a good time, and it's a good time, you know, with your teammates.
You don't go to Dino's with Danny at 3 in the morning. No, I shouldn't have said that.
No, I don't. I don't go to Dino's, Sharky's, Dino's, any of those places up there.
Oh, he's a shark guy. Yeah, you're right. He is.
They're, yeah, Danny's, they're a Sharky guy. Him and don't be giving away his secrets, Mark.
Yeah. You know,
they, oh, everybody's up there. They see him.
they are all up there. You're right.
There's fans know where to go to see him.
Everybody knows.
I wanted to ask you, I've said this to people before, because people ask if you're around the team at all, and obviously Mark knows this better than I do because he's been covering the team for like 25 years now, and I just pop in like once every 6 months. But like, people ask what Mike Tomlin is really like. And look, as far as we can tell, like, he is that same dude I've noticed during practices anyway, that he, I guess, presents himself to be, whether it's on Hard Knocks or during games, whenever you see him in public, like, he is that same dude. So what has it been like just playing for him? And, you know, is he any different at all behind the scenes than he is in all the public facing stuff that we've seen?
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not any bit different. Everything that's said in the public, and then the way he acts is the way he truly acts, like in the locker room in front of us, motivating. You know, he's going to get it out of you. People, you know, I always say people call him a player's coach. And yeah, obviously he's a player's coach because you see how many guys want to come play with him, and how many of these veteran guys that have been around the league that their main reason for coming here is playing for Coach Tomlin. But, you know, a player coach, yes, but he's going to get on your ass. Like, he is going to let you know about every single finer detail. He's going to call you out. It doesn't matter who you are in the team meeting, in the locker room, whatever, on the field, who's there, who's in front, who's listening. You're getting called out if you're not doing your job. You're being held accountable. And if you're not doing your job, then you're not going to be there. And he will hold you accountable. And, you know, people that want to say, oh, he's too friendly with the players. Like, what does that even mean? He's too friendly with the, like, I seriously don't even know what that means. He's ruthless. He's literally ruthless. He talks shit. He's ruthless to, like, you know, and he thrives off that, and he wants you to thrive off that. And, you know, I feel like him being that kind of motivator is why he's so unbelievable at his job. Like, truly, he's incredible.
How's the podcast going here? You're a legendary podcaster now, which is a little different from us. We just hear and hamming around. You have to actually get some players to come up to your studio. You enjoy it?
I do. It is fun. It's fun to get to, you know, get to know my teammates a little better. Like, I just introduced, I had YA Black on. I've been calling him Yaya for the last 6 weeks, dude.
Yeah, you're getting that icy over at the in Northside.
Yeah, I've been, yeah. So I've just been, and but bro, he's never corrected me. He's never corrected me, never said anything. So I just introduced him. I'm like, we got a very special guest, Yaya Black. And like, he didn't say anything, but my co-host Jesse was like, wait a minute, we got to clear this up. Like, his name, that's not how it's pronounced, dude. I looked at him, I'm like, you got to be shitting me. I'm like, he hasn't corrected me in 6 weeks. And he was like, yeah, I just don't correct anybody. So I'm like, well, what the hell? Now I look like a jag off.
No, that's special fifth level Yinzer type stuff when you inadvertently mispronounce someone's name. Molly called him Yaya for like 2 weeks after he got drafted.
I'm not good with names. By the way, I do believe you might have one of the most mispronounced last names of all time. It's so simple, but I think everybody mispronounces it.
Yeah, I feel like everybody wants to mispronounce it, Mark. you know, everybody wants to give that little jab extra, like, yeah, what's up, dude? Like, oh, good one. I've never heard that before.
Who's been the best trash talker on the field?
Oh, man. I don't really know, dude, Chris. I'm not going to lie. When I'm out there, I'm kind of blacked out. It happens so quick. Yeah. Like, I'm not out there for long, one play at a time. So it's tough. But, you know, a lot of the offensive linemen, when, you know, obviously after we score PATs, like, they are yapping. Like, Mason McCormick loves the yap. You know, I'll call him out a little bit there. Broderick likes the yap. They all like the yap. You know, we just scored Spence Anderson. Spence Anderson likes the yap. They all like to chop it up and yap. And I kind of get on them for it. I'm trying to be, you know, come on, we got one play. Would you just shut up for one play? Let us get out there and relax a little bit. Kick this
PAT. No way.
Let me get to, no, they don't, no.
No way Isaac Seumalo is yapping at anybody.
No, and I don't think anybody yaps at him.
He just gives a look. I go up to him and say, yes, sir, and I walk away. I'm like the Seinfeld episode. One officer best can take two steps back, you know, sir.
That's exactly how it is. Isaac does not chirp, and I liked, you know, because he just gives a look like, you know, he's a veteran, and he's just like, I'm not dealing with that. I'll kill you. Okay, don't talk to me.
The Samoan werewolf, so Isaac Seumalo. All right, Christian, yes, we're going to let you run, get your workout in, brother. We appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much. Can't wait to chat with you a little bit up at training camp. Go enjoy the rest of your summer, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Mark, that hat is terrible. I can't believe you wear that hat in the facility. You got to take that shit off.
Listen. I made a rule. I will not take the hat off until TJ Watt signs an extension. So I was telling Arthur that, and he told me TJ High School should pay me some royalties for wearing this.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I know they beat the crap out of Charvelli all the time, but who's mentioning anything?
They did. Now I'm hanging up. You got me hanging up.
All right. Goodbye. Yeah, see ya. Christian Goontz with us here on Kabbali and Mac. Great dude. Fourth level Yinzer.
You ever see that giant eagle promotion he did right down the street here? Where he was like selling hot dogs, and the guy comes up to him and said, I forget what he said. He goes, I don't like the Steelers. They don't pay my bills. And Gunz goes, well, they pay my bills. I think the Steelers did some sort of, I don't know, promotion. It's a really funny little couple minute thing here, but funny guy. Very, very selfless job, man. There's not one time you see a guy that says, boy, that was a great long snap.
No. And like he said, you're out there on the field. You're lucky if you're out on the field like 8-9 times a week. And so it magnifies every little screw up, if you have any, that much more.
What do you remember anything about him? Oh, that Patriots game where he like twisted the ball or lifted his head when he really didn't?
Yeah.
That's the only thing you remember about him. You don't remember any one thing. You could say, okay, the holder, what a great hold. What a great kick. What a great punt. Nobody says, boy, what a great long snap.
Think about what it takes. Like he said, you're down there. Your head's basically between your legs. You're upside down at that point, and you got to fire a football back there with a wild level of precision from 15 yards or 7 yards away, whatever it may be. And like, if you screw it up, everything goes to shit.
And like Danny's right there with the time, and they count revolutions. They count how long it takes the ball to get. Everything is so precise with that. Don't think that he just goes back and goes, whoosh, the laces, if he holds the ball a certain way, the laces go a certain way. I mean, everything is, that's all they got to do. So he is near, that's one position in sports that you pretty much have to be near perfect every time. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, hey, how was that? So-and-so, he goes, that was a shitty snap. I'm like, it looked good to me. Well, you know, the laces were a little bit to the right. Oh, okay. You know?
Well, and then once you do all that, like he said, you do have to pop your head up. You've got somebody rushing. You got to try and push, hold them off for half a second. And then, oh, by the way, if it's a punt, fly downfield and stay in your lane on coverage with the worry of somebody catching you blindside and ear-holing you into the dirt.
Yeah, and somebody said, you know, the Steelers just signed a long snapper to bring to camp, right?
Tucker Addington.
You know, I don't know anything about him, but one thing I do know is people, coaches, special teams coaches, don't like to mess with things in special teams that works.
Don't fix what ain't broke.
So, I mean, he can come out, this Tucker Addington or whatever his name is, and be unbelievable. I know he's played for, what, Miami, New England. He played for a million different teams. He only had 10 games of experience. This guy, Christian Kuntz, has like 100 games of experience, if not more. You don't mess with anything, man. That could cost you a game, which it could cost you a division, which could cost you a playoff berth. It could cost you anything. So you don't mess with stuff like that, man.
No, great stuff from Christian. We appreciate him joining the show here today. Awesome to talk to him for just a few Yinzer. We established fourth level Yinzer.
And Danny Smith is the – he does.
That's it. We discovered the fifth level of Yinzerdom.
Yes, I mean, because he was here. Where did he go to college?
That might disqualify him.
I know he went to Central.
They're not disqualified, but it might take a level away. Hold on.
No, he might not be.
Hold on. He went to Central Catholic, yes. Right?
He grew up in the city, right?
No, he went to Edinburgh. I think that counts.
I don't like Edinburgh.
The hell? It doesn't matter if you like it or not.
Oh, okay, Edinburgh, yeah,
that's
I know.
Not far enough so. Away that you're not still considered Yinzer.
Well, if you're a Yinzer going to a PSAC school is absolutely Yinzer. But.
Right. So that's second level, Edinburgh. And then, I mean, he's fifth level Yinzer, I think.
No, he's ultimate Yinzer.
Real quick, I wanted to bring this up because we've started to talk about it before Christian jumped on. The rest of this defense, because we were talking about TJ Watt. We've talked about Minka before, how he's got to have a bounce back year. We've talked about Joey Porter taking a step forward. We've even mentioned Patrick Queen, maybe after a year in the system, getting more used to things and adjusting. Peyton Wilson maybe taking another step forward. They bring in a guy like Juan Thornhill. I guess we get so caught up in talking about TJ and Cam, especially, and even Minka to a certain extent. There's all these other guys, and I'm looking at the roster trying to figure out who the, not sleeper might be, but like who that guy is who takes a leap forward or has a bounce back year that keeps this defense from doing what it did over the last month of the season last year, which was just completely fall apart.
I mean, isn't Joey Porter a guy that has to be on that list?
I think so.
He definitely has to be on that. I think maybe you throw a guy like Patrick Queen. I mean, he played well, but he didn't play, what was it, $14 million or $45 million over a three-year deal well. Maybe if he right. steps it up one little bit, which is he gets a whole year there. So I would say those two. I mean, of course, Benton, you know, he needs to be a guy too.
We've
those
talked
are probably
about
three
him.
That jumps. It's hard to say that about Harmon because, you know, you don't know what you're getting from him. So whatever you do get from him, you're probably happy, right?
Yeah, same with Jack Sawyer. I mean, that's a guy, though, that I would look to, since we were talking about special teams today, that's a guy I could see pop on special teams in his rookie year and have a splash play, as Mike Tomlin would call it, a splash play or two on special teams that sort of forces their hand at some point to get him more reps on the defensive side.
You tend to overlook special teams now.
I'm not overlooking it.
I mean, people in general, you got Cam Johnson coming back, and he's just, every time I see him kick, it's just like, wow, this guy's good. Now I know why they pay him $3 million a year. We know what Kuntz can do. We know what Boswell can do. Mm-hmm. Then you got these specific special teamers like Kenny Gainwell and Calvin Austin returning kicks. You got the Miles Killebrew, a.k.a. Harmon Killebrew. Just a stud special teamers, Pro Bowler, All Pro, and I'm sure Sawyer's going to fit in there. So that's a huge. I mean, they say it's a third. To me, it's not a third of the game, but it's an important part of the game. And I think they got that pretty much, maybe not locked down, but they got a nice, nice special teams unit.
I do want to see more out of the return game. Like, Calvin Austin's capable of breaking things because he's got kind of that.
Good, man. These punters are so good. They don't give you many options, many opportunities.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, where did they rank in kick returns last year? They were I want to say
return seven of them. I mean, seriously.
That's
true.
Kick returns is – you're right. That's a good point. They only returned 25 kicks last year.
Yeah. I mean, the rules should change that this year, right? It should be.
Well, we thought the same thing last year. I'm not counting on it until I see it. Like you said, these guys are so precise with their kicks that they can put it exactly where they want it. And if it's in a spot where they don't feel like the coverage or the blocking unit is set up to make something out of it, then they'll just take the ball wherever. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of risk taking on special teams anymore, which I understand because it can make or break a game, like you said a minute ago.
Yeah, now you even have the depth there if you need, if somebody gets banged up. We talked about the guy they brought in, the long snapper. Got Ben Sauls, who was probably the best kicker in college last year, not one of the top two or three, going to the same place that he kicked for 4 years. It'd be nice to have him as a fallback plan if Boz gets banged up. You got Corliss Waitman, who's sitting there behind Cam Johnson, who's proved he can do it last year. So, plus, obviously, you got, what did I say, Gainwell. You got Austin, and I think there's a couple. Who's the guy they drafted?
He can return kicks. The kid from Toledo or Kent State?
They can return
from Toledo, too. Right?
Yeah, so at this point, when you try to start layering that just in case stuff.
Central Michigan. Why did I say Toledo and Kent State? I named every MAC team but Central Michigan.
Western Michigan, right? So so it'll be interesting. I think that's pretty good. Plus, you got a good coach. Plus, say, how many kicks did they block last year? Punts? 4, 5?
Yeah, that's a good point. And they were one of 10 or 11 teams that averaged at least 10 yards per punt return. So I'm sitting here talking shit, but Calvin Austin has been very solid on punt returns. Mm-hmm. So, and they had a punt return touchdown last year too, didn't they? That's what I'm seeing on the stat sheet anyway. It doesn't pop to mind.
Who had a punt return touchdown?
I don't know. I'm looking at it on the stats. They had a punt return touchdown. One of six punt return touchdowns all year in the league. They had one.
Boy, I haven't blocked this one now. That's my old age.
Yeah, we're getting too old for this.
I have no idea who did that. Once somebody tells me, I'll be like, oh, yeah. I could look it up, but I'm trying to, you know, make the brain work.
Yeah, well, let's not hurt yourself. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC. If you see the smoke coming out of Kaboom's ears, hopefully you're not getting the same thing from your air conditioning unit this time of year. They'll come on out and give it a look. You don't want it to fail this time of year, like I said, when it's this hot out. Give them a call, 412-297-1852. Whether you're having issues or you just want to get it checked out, make sure it's working with the heat that we have this time of year. Impact HVAC on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. We thank them for supporting the show as well. That's going to just about wrap it up for today. We will be back, probably Monday, right? You want to do something Monday? Does that sound good to you, Kaboom?
I think what's going on. Oh, Calvin Austin returned a punt in against the New York Football Giants.
I still don't remember it.
Yeah, isn't that the game that got delayed because of rain? Or is that the Jets game? It was like thunder and lightning. It was a Monday night game, got delayed, and it was awful. It was like 5 in the morning. I was walking through the casino at like 5 in the morning.
I thought that was the Dallas game that got delayed. Yeah,
maybe it was.
Anyway, I still don't remember the Calvin Austin punt return, but it officially happened. So I'll stop talking crap about their punt.
Because you were sleeping because you had to go play some shaboozy.
In the middle of an hour commercial free, this has been another episode of Kabali and Mac. Thanks again to all of you for supporting the show. We appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, all of them. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube for a chance to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball as well. We'll be back to doing it again on Monday, sometime on Monday. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. Follow us on the social media. We'll tell you when. Enjoy your weekend, Pittsburgh. All you beautiful Yinzers, wherever you are. And we'll talk to you again soon here on Kabali and Mac.